All right, everybody, thank you. This is hour number two, Sound Off Connecticut. My name is Jim Vaisich. I want to thank Jeff Jacoby, great columnist for the Boston Globe, for joining us a little bit earlier and giving us his thoughts on what the president had to say over the weekend, what he had to say last week, and on what's taking place in Iran. That was Lindsey Graham. He was speaking on this week to George Stephanopoulos this week with George Stephanopoulos. Time to speak truth to power. On the way in, I was listening to Bill Bennett, which I try to every morning. I like Mr. Bennett an awful lot. He was speaking with Michael Rubin. It was an amazing interview. This is a gentleman who knows so much about the Middle East. He is a scholar in the Middle East. He worked under the W's administration. He also helped set up democracy in Iraq. Extremely involved. He currently is a lecturer at the Naval Postgraduate School. Also writes for the American Enterprise Institute. Please, let's welcome to the Sound Off Connecticut, Michael Rubin. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on, Michael. Michael, it was an amazing interview this morning. I want to ask you a couple questions as well. Well, first of all, the president kind of changed his tone. What I found disturbing was when he changed his tone, he didn't speak it. He wrote it for the great orator. But I'm at least welcome that the whole world is watching. Indeed, the whole world is. Is it a little too late, or is it just the right amount? Where do you stand on this, do you think?
It may be a little too late. On one hand, there's certainly an argument to be made that we don't want to be seen as interfering. That said, no one's asking President Obama to endorse Mousavi, the challenger. What people are asking President Obama to do is stand up and enunciate the importance of things like freedom, liberty, perhaps talk about all the countries in the Middle East, Iraq, Lebanon, and so forth, have had the right to choose their rulers, and that should extend to Iran as well. On the other hand, what people who say that President Obama, anything he says would backfire, don't understand is that the Islamic Republic is going to engage in straw men anyway. They are going to say, whether we say anything or not, that we are supporting the opposition. Therefore, we're darned if we do, darned if we don't, and we might as well do what we think is the right thing and stand for moral clarity.
I think that's where his argument started to break down, that on the one hand, on the other hand, kind of moral relativism. Well, on the one hand, we don't like what you're doing to your people, but on the other hand, you're a sovereign nation and we really should leave you alone. I don't know how someone can make a statement like that. Generally, I guess I wouldn't be opposed to that, but this is a country that sent fighters into Iraq to kill our soldiers, sponsors terrorism, and brutally, in front of cameras all over YouTube, murders their own people. I don't know how you can take that kind of moral relativism kind of stance.
Exactly. And what a fellow Iran analyst, Mehdi Khaliji, said, I think, has resonance, that not saying anything is in itself an endorsement. And while many people are critical of the role the U.S. and the CIA played in 1953 with the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh, the prime minister, who, by the way, was no Democrat, but putting that aside, if we say nothing, then in effect, or if we say nothing with any sense of power, then in effect what we're doing is casting our vote for President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, and that's the last thing. And what Mehdi Khaliji said was Obama's lackluster response is akin to 1953 all over again. At least that's how it's going to be perceived by the Iranians in the street.
Well, as Lindsey Graham pointed out, the signs that they're carrying are in English. They're twittering to us in English. It's clear who the Iranian people are addressing their concerns to. They want some kind of more than just moral support. They want this president, who stood in Berlin and said, we understand that people fight to be free and they shed their blood to be free, who stood in Egypt and demand equal rights throughout the Muslim world. And then when push comes to shove, it's like, well, on the one hand, on the other hand, I can imagine where some people, should this go through and should there be a change in government, President Obama isn't going to be real high on their list of friends.
No, he most certainly won't. What Obama is engaging in is stagecraft, not statecraft. What we need to do is stand up. The Americans, the reason why so many people, I lived in Iran. I spent 7 months there when I was researching for my PhD dissertation. This was under the Islamic Republic. I was in Iran in 1999 during the last student uprising. And what Iranians like about the Americans is clear. They like our freedom. They like our liberty. They like what we stand for. It's really a pity that just in this past March, March 21st, I believe it was, President Obama gave his traditional Persian New Year's greeting to the Iranians, and for the first time he recognized the Ayatollahs as the legitimate spokesman of the Iranian people. President Bush didn't do that. President Clinton didn't do that. They had spoken directly to the Iranians. It's really ironic that this uprising happened right after Obama changed policy and decided to recognize the mullahs as the legitimate spokesman of the Iranian people.
We're talking with Michael Rubin. He's a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, but so much more than that. He's an expert in the Middle East. He is, as I said, he worked with the State Department under George W.?
No, I was in the Pentagon. I was working the Iran desk on the Office of Secretary of Defense.
Helped set up a coalition government in Baghdad. He knows from what he speaks. My concern here is if you were thinking about negotiating with Iran about nuclear weapons, and that's what we keep hearing. I heard it from Senator Dodd, our own Senator Dodd, over the weekend on This Week. Got to be careful. We want to negotiate with them. We've heard that from Obama's people himself and other senators who are backing the president up. My concern here is that you've let an opportunity slip by. I'm afraid that these demonstrations at some point are going to start petering out. You let an opportunity slip by to possibly have a new government to negotiate with and maybe do far better in your negotiations. Straddling the fence, playing it safe may have cost us. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. There's two quick points here. The first is this reminds me of the so-called Chicken Kiev speech when George H.W. Bush went to Kiev, Ukraine, towards the end of his administration as the Soviet Union was falling and urged them not to go for independence because everything should be done under the Soviet rubric. The question is why? The other point is that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the same people who are facing down the protesters in the street, are the ones that would have command and control over Iran's nuclear program. Do we really want to preserve their rule? We and the Iranian protesters have a common foe here.
Now, what would you say to those people who say, but if you back the Iranian people and the Iranian people, the students in the street, the people who are giving their lives, that's the thing. You know, I hate to keep – the thing that really gets me about all of this, I have to tell you, Michael, is this. You have people who are putting their lives on the line, who are being dragged from their homes or are being beaten. We have this amazing video on YouTube right now of this young woman being shot and left to die in the street. You have this kind of stuff going on, and the president takes a stand of – we can't meddle. I sit there and I shake my head, and if ever a situation calls for meddling, wouldn't that be it?
Well, this is the thing that strikes me about Obama's so-called realism. Realism is about maximizing U.S. interests, and in this case, the U.S. interests lie with the protesters. Obama really is an ideologue. He believes in the unlimited power of diplomacy and perhaps somewhat arrogantly in the unlimited power of his own rhetoric. The problem is that where we are with Iran is far more complex, and a simple speech isn't going to do the trick. The Iranians have nuclear weapons, have a nuclear program beyond any logic of a civilian nuclear program capability. They had held this program they had held secret enrichment. They had experimented with plutonium. According to the IAEA, that has absolutely no relevance in the nuclear cycle, and they're floating on a sea of gasoline. The fact of the matter is Obama is dangerously undercutting U.S. national security with a really ham-fisted strategy at this point.
It's a scary thing. Now, I have one more question for you. Can you stay with me?
I can stay with you just for a minute or two.
Well, then let me put this question out now because it was the question, and I'll take the time now because it was a remarkable answer. You gave a remarkable answer to Mr. Bennett this morning when the question was posed to you. What do you think we should do? And unlike other folks in think tanks, sometimes they don't always come up with what you would do. But you had a solution. You had a way for the president to sort of take the side of the Iranian people without being labeled meddling. You said the American people, this administration should – there is a plan of action.
Well, what we definitely need to do is look at some of the weaknesses. We've got to figure out how to get the IRG to switch sides. We've got to exploit differences. That is the key turning point in any protest, getting this elite military unit to switch sides, and we know very little about factionalization. We've also got to really expand our media into Iran. The Iranian government's trying to clamp down on media. What we've got to do is increase the Persian language broadcast. And at the same time, what President Obama should be doing is naming and shaming the companies who are providing the Islamic Republic with the technology to censor this sort of media. there's any number of things we could be doing right now.
So in other words, we need to get our voice in and their voice out, number one. And number two, somehow we have to get the Army to join the revolution, at least portions of the Army to join the revolution.
The Army joining the revolution is what led the Islamic Revolution to be successful in 1979. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is different than the Army. The Army is conscripts. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps exists to impose the view of the revolution on the people. You've got to understand that in Iran, popular sovereignty doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what all the people in the streets think. Sovereignty comes from God through the supreme leader as defended by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. So if 99% of the people are in the street, that doesn't matter so long as the guys with the guns control things. That's what we should be targeting right now.
Michael Rubin, I apologize. Michael Rubin with the AEI. Michael, thank you so much. It was two amazing interviews this morning, and we will stay in touch with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.